We pray for Bernice. We pray that she, as she comes to speak to us now, that her words will be your words, and the words that she's planned to say will be beautiful, and the words that come to her on the spur of the moment will be just as beautiful. We pray that we will listen, we pray that we will hear, and we pray that we will be able to act on the things that she gives us. Amen.
So, hello. It's really lovely to be here. Thank you for the very warm welcome I've received today. And funnily enough, there are quite a few familiar faces in the congregation today, so it's lovely to see some familiar faces. So it's lovely to be here. Just to give you a bit of explanation about myself, my name is Bernice. I work part-time at Alton Baptist Church as their church worker, and I've been doing that for about the last 2.5 years. Been on the leadership team there for, I think, about 12 years, something like that, and I've been at Alton Baptist for about 14 years altogether. I work part-time at Alton Baptist, and I work part-time at Solihull Council as a trainer for safeguarding, so that's just a bit about who I am and sort of how I've come to be here today. Steve recently came and spoke at Alton, so we thought we'd like to return the favour. I've come across the border of the Coventry Road, and it's lovely to be with you today. So I believe you're in a series on receiving the Spirit at the moment. They've given me Acts 2 to talk on. There is a lot in Acts 2, so I'm not going to be able to cover it all today. So I'm going to pick out certain sections and talk to you about certain sections. But I would get you to go home and read it, because there is a lot in it. It's a very, obviously, important passage for us as church today. So I'm going to focus on the big picture of who the Trinity is and who the Spirit is within the Trinity. I'm going to look at how Jesus received the Spirit, how he promised him to the disciples, and then how they received him and the results for us and for them. Quite a lot, but I still promise you we'll get to our casserole lunch at the end. Do not worry. When I speak, I usually have a bit of interaction. Being a trainer, it's just hard for me not to get a bit of interaction. So I'm just going to do something with you as a bit of a warm-up. And so what I want you to do, and you may have to move slightly, if there's people on their own, do make sure nobody's left out at this point. All I want you to do is just say hello to the person next to you, say your name, and say what your favourite season of the year is. So spring, summer, autumn, winter, there are only 4 options. So say your name to the person next to you, and what's your favourite season of the year? Let's just do a quick poll. So who are the spring people? Hands up. Oh, new birth. Lovely. Who are the summer people? Love the sun. Oh, I think that might be the majority. What about the autumn, where we are at the moment? Leaves in the autumn. Oh, yeah, we've got a few autumn people. And winter, my favourite. Oh, the least, I'm surprised. I love the snow. I love the snow in winter, especially if it snows on Christmas Day. That's just amazing. So that's just a little warm-up activity for you. What I would like you to do is think about, so I've got 3 kind of very short phrases, and what I'd like you to just talk to the person next to you is the first word that comes to mind when you hear this phrase. So the first one being God the Father, and just to let you know the other two, because it might just help you make decisions. The other two will be Jesus and the Spirit. So we're starting with God the Father. So speak to the person next to you, what's the first word that comes to mind? You don't have to be theologically correct. It's not about that. It is, as in, just the first word come to mind. Don't worry about, you know, being theological. So can I have 4 or 5 brave people to shout out that word? Yep.
Safety.
Safety, lovely.
Care.
Sorry, say it again.
Care.
Care, lovely.
Dad.
Say it again.
Dad,
lovely.
Guidance,
yeah?
Creator.
Lovely. Brilliant. Okay. Jesus, again, just 30 seconds with your neighbour. What word comes to mind first? All right. Okay. 4 or 5 brave people again. So somebody shout out. Yeah?
Saviour.
Sacrifice. Love, sorry. Yeah. Enabler, yeah?
Courage.
Anymore? Yeah? Friend. Lovely. Okay. Last one. The Holy Spirit. What word comes to mind? Again, 4 or 5 people?
Healer.
Healer, yeah?
Truth.
Truth, yeah? Say it again.
Providence.
Providence, yeah? Lovely. Enabler, yeah? And comforter at the back, I heard, yeah? Any others?
Guide.
Guide, yeah? Exciting, yeah. Scary, yeah. Both of those words are going to come up. Lovely. Brilliant. Okay.
Happy.
Brilliant. Lovely. Thank you. So we'll sort of go into a bit more about that picture of who the Spirit is in our lives. But something that when I was writing this, something that came to mind was, I don't know if anybody has seen the film or read the book, but was a book that was published in 2007, I think it was, by William Paul Young called The Shack. Now, there have been quite a few discussions and debates about Christians about this film, but I think what it helped me to do is just help me in my thinking about what the Bible said. And if you don't know about the film, it talks about a dad whose child has been murdered and about him meeting with God and talking through why suffering happens. What is that about? But what I want to focus on really is that how the Trinity is portrayed in the film. So the dad meets an African-American woman who's portraying God, the Father, a Middle Eastern man who's playing Jesus, and an Asian woman who plays the Holy Spirit, or Sarai, I think is how it's pronounced, could be wrong, in Sanskrit. And one of the reasons about this was to challenge, really, how we see God. And the Spirit is portrayed as a gardener in the film who's working on the garden of your soul. And she's called activity, creativity, the breathing of life. And her name means wind. And I guess I was used to thinking about the Spirit in the Bible as some of the symbols, you know, some of these you might be very familiar with, sort of wind, fire, dove, oil, breath, freedom. But I wonder if perhaps, you know, for me particularly, in seeing the Spirit as a symbol, I perhaps had diminished the place the Spirit had as part of who God is, as part of God in all his wholeness. So I just wanted to sort of give you a bit of thinking around that as kind of an intro into the passage. So we're going to read just a couple of sections of the passage of Acts 2. And we're going to start with the beginning, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. So if you do have Bibles and want to sort of read along, I'm going to read it out. But if you want to read along, feel free. So all the disciples were gathered in one place, we're told. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we're going to stop there for the moment. So in the passage, it was quite dramatic. Tongues of fire, sound like a wind. I think I'd have been quite scared if I'd been in that room. And even though they'd seen some amazing things, they'd seen Jesus do some amazing things, they'd done some amazing things. They'd seen the power of God at work, they'd seen miracles, they'd seen healing. It still, I think, was quite scary to know that their leader had gone, had left them, and they were waiting for something to happen, and they were scared about what might happen next. But they shouldn't have really been surprised, should they? Because Jesus did promise them a comforter and a guide. He promised them this before he left. And he says in John chapter 14, verse 26, "However, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. He will remind you of everything that I have told you." I mean, he didn't tell them what to expect. I guess it was a bit frightening, but it was an amazing display of the power of God. And we know, don't we, because we know the whole story, that when Jesus was anointed and when John baptized Jesus, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." That's from Luke 3. So the Holy Spirit in this instance was not a wind or a fire, but a very gentle dove and a heavenly voice. The Holy Spirit always shows up in surprising ways. He brought power, those images of wind and fire, wild and tameable forces, terrifying and exhilarating. But at other times, the Spirit speaks softly, a wind that suggests both life and power. Jesus gave this description in John 3. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So how do you know if you have received the Holy Spirit? Two important things, I think. So sign one is that you know who Jesus is, because we are told the Spirit reveals who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit leads people to Jesus, and if you acknowledge Jesus to be your Lord and Saviour, then the Spirit is at work within you. John 15:26. I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And sign two is Romans 8 verses 5. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. When you spend time with someone who cares about things very deeply, that is contagious. And when we are full of the Spirit, we begin to think about and care about the things that the Spirit cares about. And though some of those things could be that Jesus is glorified, that sin is being dealt with, that people are loved and cared for, and that others come to know Jesus. So Romans 8, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit... That might not be the right verse. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Sorry, I think this is the one I wanted. I don't know quite where I got that one from. So those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So those two things about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that we know who Jesus is because the Holy Spirit signposts to him, and that we live in accordance with the Spirit, that we care about the things that the Spirit cares about. So the Spirit was received by the disciples. He was sent once, and we know that he can be again, but are we expectant of that? Are we expectant of the Spirit working within us? And they became, when the disciples received that Spirit, they became witnesses of the fulfillment of the presence of Jesus. But as they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they were already witnessing to others that didn't know Jesus about him. So what was the result for those disciples? I haven't warned Ramona, I'm going to tell a slight story now. So I have a friend who speaks Romanian, and very occasionally I'm talking to Ramona in English, and she'll reply back to me in Romanian, and she'll look at me as if to say, "Why do you not understand?" And I'm like, "Because you spoke Romanian," and she'll just switch so easily between languages. And so my guess is, you know, those early people that heard the disciples on that day, we know that they all heard what the disciples were saying in their own language. They were saying one thing, but the Spirit enabled people to hear it in their own language. So just the remarkable bit about that, and the fact that that power that happened on that day meant that people did then respond. So Peter in Acts 2, 38 to 41, I'm jumping forward a little bit now. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So I wouldn't be a good Baptist if I didn't mention the repent and be baptized bit of the passage, I don't think. And, you know, we know that that is just an important part of responding to God. Turn back from your ways and be rescued. And when you do this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that passage, that sort of speech from Peter was so important because he was promising that for everyone. You know, everyone, whoever they were, had that opportunity to hear and respond. So you might be thinking, "I can't do that. You know, I can't do what Peter did that day. I can't, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit works in power, but perhaps not through me. Perhaps it needs to be a minister or a leader or somebody with spiritual gifts." But we can have confidence in the fact that God promised and Jesus promised us that gift, and that all can receive the gift of the Spirit. This is the time of the new creation. God's Spirit in the past in the Bible have been given to one or two or, you know, individual people appointed for a specific role or purpose. But now he's here for everyone. He's in the upper room. He's in the market square. He wasn't in the temple or the rabbinic schools. He came to where everybody was. So what's the impact for me around some of these things? So recently I've read a book by Mike Pilavachi about everyday supernatural power. And I just wonder whether there's something there for me about challenging myself about, you know, the Spirit and his power is there. And do we, you know, rely on that? Do we expect that the Spirit can do amazing things? And one of the things I think over the past 2.5 years, really, I've been prompted to pray more. Sometimes I feel that situations in the world, situations in people's lives are so difficult, so desperate, so, you know, there is no earthly solution that all I can do is pray. And I think I've been really challenged to pray, you know, asking God to send supernatural, miraculous power into situations. And I don't know if God will, and I don't know if the Spirit will, but I'm expectant of that. I'm expectant. So just a small example, I was on the train on Friday, travelling to from Acots Green to Moore Street, and just about 10 minutes, and a guy got on the train with a stick, looked really in pain, was really rubbing his knee, was really in pain. I just thought, I'm going to pray. And, you know, and just pray for his knee, pray for healing, pray for Jesus come to into his life, pray for something supernatural to happen for him. And I don't know what happened. He walked off the train still hobbling, but, you know, I just thought, you know, what, that hasn't lost me anything. And God prompted me to pray for him, and who knows what might happen in the rest of the story. You don't always know what happens in the end, but God prompted me to do something in that situation, and I did. So just thinking about kind of that supernatural power and what that looks like, and perhaps the ministries of Jesus and the Spirit and how those intertwine. In Luke 4, there is a section where it talks about that summary of the ministry of Jesus. So very familiar words, I'm sure, to you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. But I think some of the passage, some of the words that Peter spoke are almost summarising the ministry of the Spirit, and those are the words that are taken from Joel. So here we see this amazing sort of link throughout the whole Bible of how God has ordained things to happen at exactly the right time. So Peter quotes Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I think the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Spirit has brought about a new era of the last days. We don't often hear that talked about now, the last days. But somehow we are in those last days, knowing there is an end and a new beginning, but not sure when. And the gift of the Spirit is for the now and the not yet, the things to come. For us to be a God's kingdom of grace, love and justice in this world. And we know that that world needs it. We know that our world needs that at the moment. With the aim of all things coming under the rule of God's will. And I think just a sort of, you know, a thought around how that happened, just in terms of that Acts 2 passage. The Spirit came to them as a community, not as individuals. He came to them when they were all together. And I think there is something about transformation on earth, starting with that group of people and being mirrored with the Spirit given to churches across the country. I think the Spirit is hopefully working in you as Yardley Baptist Church, in us as Alton Baptist Church, and a sign of Jesus's and Christ's present power on earth. And, you know, I think, you know, it'd be lovely when we have this casserole lunch today as a church, because I think part of it is being that big family of showing agape love to each other and fellowshipping together. Something that we've been started to do in Alton Baptist Church and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to do is just praying for each other. When we talk to each other at the end of the service and people say, oh, I've just got a poorly knee, or I've got an interview this week and I need to, you know, I'm worried about that interview, or, you know, just really stressed at the moment. Things are really stressful for me. But instead of people going, oh, I'm really sad to hear that, sorry about that, it's like, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray that the Spirit will be part and involved in your life and bring either healing or comfort or change or challenge? And so, you know, I'd really, really encourage you to do that. So even as, you know, as you say, as we talk and as we share together, you know, it's lovely in Alton when we see just ones and twos praying with each other, recognising that, you know, prayer and the power of prayer is something very important. So I've got some questions to ponder to leave you with today. So the first sort of question really is, you know, at the beginning of Acts, the Holy Spirit was very active in miracles, supernatural guidance and empowering believers. So where do you see this in the global church today? I know people here have got connections with countries all over the world. So it may be that you see it in different places in the world. Where do you see that and why do you think that is? And how can we pray for more of the release of the Spirit's power in the church and the world today? So a couple of things to ponder on there, just about the sort of global church. Where do we see the Holy Spirit at work in the church today? How can we pray for more of a release of the Spirit's power in the church and work today? And by church, I mean, you know, the big church as a whole. And then some questions for yourself. So if you think of your soul as the Spirit's garden, what are some of the areas that the gardener is working on in your life at the moment? What are the flowers that you are blessed with? And what are the weeds that need removing? What are the things that get in the way that may need removing from your life? So what are some of the areas the gardener, the Spirit is working on you in your life? What are some of the flowers that you've been blessed with? And what are some of the weeds that may need to be removed? So let's pray. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." So I thank you for the Spirit that was given to those disciples in those early days and for the transformation that happened, for the 3,000 that believed that day and for the millions of others that believed from then on. I thank you that that Spirit is here with us. And I pray for expectancy about how the Spirit can guide and work in us and change others. And I thank you for that freedom. I thank you that the Spirit brings us freedom. Freedom in lots of different ways. But I thank you that the promise for us is freedom. And I pray that as the Spirit transforms us, that we become more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Lord, we want to say more of you, just as that song says, more of you in our lives, more love, more power, less of us, and more of your glorious Spirit. Lord, be with us, not just today, but also into our coming week. And when we hear the prompts of your Spirit guiding us, Lord, I pray that we would respond. In your name, amen.